Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians 2. It's where we've been. Paul writing this to the church of Philippi. And I tell you what, when I first got saved, after I read the book of John, and started memorizing. And then I got into Pauline epistles, and you read the book of Romans. And if you really want to grow, you read the Pauline epistles. If you really want to get a hold of things, and you think, well, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to remember that. And you got to go over it and over it and over it. And that's why you got to read your Bible through and through and through, because it reminds you. It reminds you constantly of things that then you say, I thought I'd remember that. I thought I would get that, you know, and then you got to be reminded. So, and then hiding the Word of God in your heart. My wife just told me today that the kids over in the Sunday school, they've memorized a bunch of verses, and she's giving them an award for that, for memorizing Scripture. When I was going to Bible school, we had to memorize Scripture. We had to memorize, and still, I want to memorize Scripture. Why? Because thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. People, you can mark it down. When people start sinning, they ain't hiding the Word of God in their heart. The Word of God will keep you from sin. You can't enjoy sin. You can't, when you're reading the Word of God on a daily basis and you're studying the Word of God and you're praying, it's hard to enjoy sin. It's hard to, you start looking at it going, man, that's just a dead-end road. It's just a dead-end street. So Paul wrote the scriptures. He wrote to the church of Philippi. And I believe when you come to Sunday school, you ought to have a Bible, amen? How many of y'all got your Bibles? Hold them up. All right. All right, look back there. I see some guys ain't got no Bibles. Well, let's get some Bibles for these guys. Tyler, come on, get some Bibles for these boys. Come on, get them. And Manny, I told you, get your Bible, man. You got to have a Bible. David, you got to have a Bible. And if you're going to read the Word of God, you're going to study it. If you're going to make it in this life, you got to have a Bible. And you got to look into it. You guys, can you guys read? Manny, can you read? Can you read, David? How about you, brother? Can you read? All right. I couldn't read when I got saved. I wanted to know. So you guys got an opportunity to know instead of going by hearsay. You don't want to go by hearsay. You want to see what God says. Now, are you guys saved? Are you saved? How about you, Dave? How about you, man? Then you all want to get to know what he said to you. So, Tyler, you ought to have a Bible with you all the time. Have that Bible. You got to have a Bible. If you're going to look into the Word of God and grow, you got to have a Bible. And matter of fact, Manny, why don't you come up here for a second? Come on up here. I want you to get a word of testimony. Come on. Come on, man. I want you to tell them when you got saved. Do that. You say, why are you doing this? Because I want to see God use them. I want to see God use David and Tyler and Manny. Manny got tore up after when George passed away, didn't you? And he came to me and hugged me a couple times because he was tore up. He loved George too. But get word testimony, bro.
My name is Manny. I got saved 2012, June 26th on my birthday. That's it.
Tell them a little bit about your home life. Maybe tell them a little bit where you live.
I'll be chilling.
You be what?
I'll be chilling.
Chilling. You be chilling.
With David. Help him work on his sports. And that's it.
All right. What you gonna be when you? How old are you, man? 16. What are you gonna do, man? When you get, you don't know. You get in that book, God will direct you. Amen. I'm telling you, man. It's not a fairy tale. Amen. How many of y'all love Manny and David and all the guys? Amen. Look at David. He said, "I love myself." Amen. I'm glad you guys are here. Amen. I am. I'm glad. All right, Philippians chapter 2, look at, if you know, look in your Bible, you see where it's at. Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 12, wherefore, we already covered some of this, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody hit that thing the other day about working out, he's not working to get saved, I'm not working to get saved, I'm already saved. I'm saved by grace. But you work out your own salvation. What it means is Manny and David, you guys that are saved, and I'm saying we're supposed to work for the Lord. We're his child. And the Bible tells us we're soldiers. We're soldiers. And Paul wrote that. He said, he talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see guys go in the military, and they'll go in the military, and they take young men like these guys, and they'll and the reason why they want young men, because young men will listen, and they're pliable. Manny says he don't know what he's going to do with life, but let's pray God would show him. And but the military, they want young men to train, and God wants young men. God's looking for a few good men. He's looking for them. And it's hard to find a few. Why? Because all the guys are intimidated. Saved kids are intimidated by this world. They are intimidated when they go to school because they want to be cool. They want to be something. And they're intimidated. And it takes a real soldier, a real man to go against the standard of this world. And you go to work, it takes a real man to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't care what y'all think. I worked with a bunch of guys, roofers. And always trying to get you high, trying to get you messed up. And I would say, hey, guys, look, I can go where you're at any time because your lives are all screwed up. I came from that. I'm not going to go back to that. I know what God delivered me from. I know where he brought me from. And I know where I'm heading now. And I said, you guys, you don't even know what you're going to do in life. And most of those guys are dead and in hell right now. And I have a purpose in life. You can have a purpose. I don't care if you're 15, 16, 17. You can have a purpose in life and have a golden life to serve God. And man, yesterday it was a young, where's that young man? He was here. Where is he? He's not even here this morning. He's a missionary son. He came over to the house. I got them fake cigarettes. And I come out of my bedroom. Jesse's standing there. And I had this fake cigarette. And it looked like it's lit. And this guy is called to preach. We're going to have him preach tonight, a young man. He's about 16, Jesse. Where is it? 17. And man, you should have seen the look on that guy's face. I came out of my room and I had the cigarette hanging in my mouth. And now what it would do to you guys, if you've seen me coming out of a bar up in Smyrna, and you rode by and said, there's a preacher. What is he doing? Why was he coming out of there? And then I had my arm around another woman coming out of the bar. And then I got up here on Sunday morning preaching, you would go. You know what? You go, stinking hypocrite. But I come out of my room, and I had this cigarette in my mouth, hanging out of my mouth, and the guy and his sister were standing there. And that boy looked at me like this. I'm not kidding. He went. And then he put his head down. And he kept looking at my cigarette. He wouldn't look me in the eyes then. I'm standing there. I said, hey, Jesse. I said, Jesse, you want a cigarette? I was going. And I had the cigarette in my, and it didn't have no smoke in it. Usually I blow smoke through it. And I said, hey, Jesse, you want a cigarette? And Jesse said, no, I don't want one right now. I said, well, let me know. I got some more. And that boy, I'm not kidding. It was like I slapped that kid upside his head. And that kid kept looking at me. He wouldn't even look me in the eyes. He would look at that cigarette and look at me and kind of look down. You know what? That's where we would be. Man, that's where you would, if you saw me doing that. You know what? That's the way I'd feel if I saw you doing something. That's the way I feel. I'm thinking, man, can I count on those guys? Can I say, hey, God, count on them? You say, what are you talking about? Right in this chapter, Paul's writing. Look here. Look what it says. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for if God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. God wants to work in our lives. And he will work in our lives, but he wants you to be willing to say, okay, God, you work on me. God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm willing, and I'm willing to yield to you and let the Lord work in you. And the way he works in you is, number one, through his word. He builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And God wants to work in you to get your faith to get stronger. Why? Because he knows there's going to be trials down the road. There's going to be struggles down the road. We had a lot of young men, a lot of young ladies used to come to church here. And man, some of them in prison. One of them was Lamar. Lamar, what is his last name? Mosley. Lamar preached behind this pulpit or behind the one in the church. Lamar has got, I think he almost got like 30 years in prison. 40 years. He got around some guys, and Lamar didn't mean to hurt nobody. He didn't want to hurt nobody, but he broke into a lady's house. They locked the woman in the trunk. They robbed the place. Another boy robbed a liquor store up in Smyrna. Robbed the liquor store, and he's in jail. And you say, what does it do? It breaks my heart, because I remember I put my arm around Lamar, and Lamar says, preacher, I'm going to serve God. Amen. Lamar's sister comes to church here every once in a while. And it says, for God worketh in you both the will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things. I mean, there's no but if somebody does something or somebody says something. There is no but there. Amen. It doesn't say if only if they do this. It says do all things without. And that's a conviction. I mean, that's a slap in our face, because we murmur and we complain. I know I do. And I have to get right about it. You say, preacher, you got to get right. Yeah, I got to get right, because I do, you know, murmur and complain sometimes. I murmur and complain about stupid stuff, and we all do that. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And he's writing this to the Philippian church of Philippi. And he says, you're living in a crooked and perverse nation, and that's where we're at right now. And he says that you might be lights. The Lord wants you to shine. So if you're not shining, then what are you doing? What are you doing? Holding forth. You know, we got these lights in here. The reason why we put these lights in here, because they're the best when it comes to the room that we have. And these are gym lights, and they're bright. And I never forget when we went and bought these things, we were looking at them, and somebody suggested, why don't we just put regular lights in it? But they weren't going to be bright enough. They wouldn't bring the light out and like it should. And Brother Chandler came here, and he was going to help us hook it up, but Eddie's father-in-law, Eddie and Jessica's dad, he put them things up. Clint, he put them things up. And man, they put out some heat. They put out some light. But we're supposed to be light, man. We're supposed to shine. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's talking about the church of Philippi. He's saying, man, he's a work out your own salvation. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked. Why? Because the people, Christians are crooked. Christians are crooked. I've worked for, been around some crooked Christians. And they bring reproach against the name of Christ. And if you in this church, if you're in this church and you're crooked, you bring reproach against this church. You know why? Everybody knows about if a deacon was in a church, at any church, and they'll say, that guy has a business, he's crooked as a dog's hind leg. He's a deacon in that church. Or he's a trustee in that church. If you're crooked, and you tell people, I go to Faith Baptist Church or wherever you go, they know. You know what people say? I ain't going down there because that guy's crooked. You said one person, a people judge a church by one person. They'll judge this church by you, by your life. They'll judge the way this church is because of you. Not because of the pastor. Sometimes it's just one person, one person. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul was willing to, he sacrificed himself for others, sacrificing for others. My nephew just texted, it was the anniversary of Nate Saint. And I tried to figure this out in my own mind. Nate Saint, they flew in to South America in a part where the Indians, a tribe of Indians, they were cannibals. And Nate Saint and a couple other men flew in, and they landed on the riverbed, or on the side of a riverbed where there's a small plane. And that And that tribal people came out, and they came up and they had spears and everything. And they had guns in the plane, what I understand. I might be wrong. They had guns in the plane. And they could have killed every one of those Indians. And they got surrounded by these native Indians that were headhunters, and they were cannibals. And they were up by the plane. They were doing something. And somebody said, get the guns. And Nate said, no, don't get the guns. Don't. We don't want to kill them. We don't want to send nobody to hell. They ended up killing Nate Saint and the rest of those men. I've tried to picture in my own mind. I think I would have to get the gun. I would have to have the gun, man. And stand there and let them guys take spears and throw it and kill them. And I thought, my God, man. But Nate Saint's family, all the families that were involved, those men, five. They all were killed by these natives. And they went out looking for them, and they saw the plane in the riverbed, and they landed, and they came looking for them, and they found their bodies laying in the river's blood and butchered and everything else, man. And I thought back in my mind, I thought, man, what would I have done? If Nate Saint would have said to me, no, put the gun up, would I? I've thought about that. But the wives of those men, some of them went back to the United States. But Nate Saint's wife stayed. And she said, God helping me, I'm going to reach that tribe. They just killed her husband. And she had a little children. She had little babies. And to make a long story short, she went to that tribe, and they wouldn't kill that woman. And she had those children, and they took her in, and she was able to lead that whole tribe to Jesus Christ. And the chief one day, the chief had his son. And he was walking with his son, and his son looked up at the chief and took that boy in like his own child. And his son looked up at the chief and said, were you there the day when they killed my daddy? Were you there? And the chief didn't answer him. You know why? Because the chief is the one that killed him. Man. And finally, the chief broke down and told him, I'm the one that killed your father. Paul said, man, I'm be offered for you. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your estate. Paul saying, I can trust Timothy, and I know he'll tell me what's going on. And I want to know how y'all doing. Paul wasn't just saying, you know how some people walk up and say, how you doing? And you start telling them, and they really don't care. They don't really want to hear it. They really don't want to hear it. But Paul said, I want to know how y'all doing. I want to know how to pray. I mean, he really loved people. How do you know Paul loved people? He wouldn't have wrote the 13 books of the New Testament. He wouldn't have went as a missionary, and he wouldn't have done all that he did if he didn't love people. He wanted to see people saved. I'm telling you, man, he said, I'll offer myself. The Christian life is you offering God and giving to God everything. And the Bible tells us that's our reasonable service. That's what we're supposed to do. So preaching, we have church every Sunday, Wednesday night. And what it is preaching is preparing you just to give God more percentage of your life. Because each week, we take back percentages. We'll say, Lord, I'll take that back a little bit. And every week you come back and it's to give, you know, preaching is to get you where you want to give God more of your life. Not just to give the money to church. We think in terms of money is this, we give more of ourselves to God. And I'll tell you this. I appreciate everybody in our church, workers, man, like a bunch of ants that's working. What a blessing. Everybody working together, doing something. and bus workers. And I know sometimes you feel like you're unappreciated, but I appreciate it. That's why I want to keep the buses running. I want to keep things going. I want to make sure you're all right. If you need something, I try to help you. I want to help you. That's what it's all about. And he says, for I have no man, look at verse, he said verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally, it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing for a Christian to care. That's natural. You know, out in the world, people do care about, you know, lost people care about things. But it's more natural for a Christian that has the love of Christ inside of us and has Jesus Christ living in us to have natural care for people. And caring for your friends. You know, after I got saved, I cared about, I had a gang. And I cared about those guys. I wanted to see them saved. I'll never forget, I made them all get on their knees. I said, y'all get down on your knees. They all got on their knees around me. And I remember telling them, I said, you got to pray this prayer. You got to pray. You have to ask the Lord. Because why? I love those guys. I love those guys. Those, the guys that I grew up around and guys that I grew up with and being in the gang, I loved them. You know, people, you know why people won't get right? They say, I love my friends. I love my friends. I can't leave my friends. I went back to my friends and started telling them about Jesus Christ. I loved them enough to tell them. And then I started living for God. You know what my buddies tried to do? They tried to get me back. They said, man, Alan's going crazy. And they tried to get me back to drinking. They tried to get me back to drugging. They tried to get me back, all that stuff, stealing cars and stealing stuff and all that. They tried to get me back to do that. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, why don't y'all come to church with me on Sunday? Why don't y'all come on? They said, oh, man, come on. And I started bringing them to church, and they said, man, this is a drag. I said, man, this is good. This is good stuff. They didn't like it. And they all claimed they got saved, but none of them really took off. None of them. I had some. I know there's a couple guys. I end up going to funerals of children, and a couple of the guys getting killed. One boy burned up in a fire, and I'm going to the funerals, and at that time, I'll never forget, I was at the gravesite with a couple of the guys that died, and I told the guys that was burying them, I said, let me dig the hole. I got down with a shovel, started digging the hole. Since I've been saved, and before I was saved, I was at a lot of caskets. After I've been saved, pastoring church, I've been at a lot of caskets. But I've got more hope now. Well, I didn't have no hope then. I got hope now to see my friends, my people get saved. And I'm not going to sit back and not tell them. And you're a rascal, man. You're a dirty, rotten rascal if you don't tell your friends. You're a dirty, rotten rascal. You're the lowest of the lowest. You are low. If you keep your mouth shut and you let your friends die and go to hell, you're a rotten, stinking dog. I'm going to tell you something. You got to answer to God for that. That boy used to run around with his name, David Belcher. I'll never forget. David was a big old boy. David was 6'5". He was about 260 pounds. He was scared to death. And he was saved. And David wouldn't open his mouth about Jesus Christ. And when my brother got killed, I remember him sitting on the front porch crying. He never told us. I thought, David, you're a rotten dog. After I got saved, I said, you're rotten. You knew. You knew how to get to heaven. You knew how to get saved. You don't open your mouth, you're rotten. You're lowest of the low. You go to school, you're going back to school Monday, Smyrna. You don't have to go in there and run down the hall and go, hey! That would be cool, though. That would be cool to say, hey, I'm saved. You all need to get saved or you're going to go to hell. I love you. You know what you're afraid of? Fear of man bringeth a snare. You're more afraid of what people will think about you. You're afraid. Well, I think if you did something like that, the Lord would probably say, boy, that boy got some guts. Before I got saved, I had a lot of guts to do a lot of crazy stuff. I was stealing cars and stealing transmissions and wheels and hurting people and all kinds of stuff. I had a lot of guts to do that stuff. And robbing. And then after I got saved, I thought, the Lord said, hey, if I could do that for the world and do that for the devil, I should be able to stand for God. That's why I don't care what people think. I don't care. I really don't. I want to see people saved. You get worrying about man, what man thinks about you, then I'd rather worry about what God thinks about me. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You say, what was Paul? I mean, you're talking about one of the boldest men in Christianity. I don't think anybody could touch the Apostle Paul. Paul, when he went into town, Paul started preaching. Brother, they stoned him. People took up stones, I mean rocks. And they said, shut up. And they were throwing rocks at him. And one time in the book of Acts chapter 16, they drug him out of town. They thought he was dead. They took that dude. He was all bloody. And why? He cared about the people. He loved them. You know what they did? You talking about a tough dude. I'm going to shake the Apostle Paul's hand when I get to heaven. That dude was a bad man. A guy that plays football, he big old boy slamming somebody, and then, you know, you think, oh, that's a bad guy. I'm telling you what, that little Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the baddest of the bad. He was tougher than anybody you can think of. Anybody, I like to watch the UFC, guys getting in the ring, fighting. I thought, man, that's a bad man. That dude, now he's bad. He'd break your arms or break your legs. But the Apostle Paul wasn't trying to break nobody's leg. He was trying to get people saved, and he was taking the abuse. They took him, and they drug him out of town. And the Bible says they took him out of town, and they threw him off a cliff, or not a cliff, but a ditch. They threw him in a ditch, supposing he was dead. Paul laid there for a little while. And he probably was. He probably died at that time, because he says, I was caught up in the heaven, the third heaven, and it was probably at that time. And the Lord said, Paul, you can't stay here. Paul said, come on, Lord, do I got to go back down there again? And he says, you read it. It's Paul probably was dead right then. And he was called up to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians. And he says, I seen things, I heard things. And the Lord said, you ain't done yet, boy. But then here's something crazy. God told Paul when he got saved, he said, since you did all that you did to people, killing Christians, he said, I'm going to tell you what you're going to suffer. And Paul, you know what Paul did? He didn't run from it. He said, okay, God, you're talking about a bad man. That's a bad man. That's a man's man. Everybody talking about, I'm a man. All these boys, 15 years old, 16, I'm a man. You ain't nothing, man. My brother used to say to me, he says, why don't you do this? He said, he told me, he says, since you got saved, you turned into a sissy. I said, let me see you stand for God in prison. See if you're a sissy. I said, anybody can beat up people. Anybody can hurt people. Any punk can shoot a gun and kill people. What about saving people? Changing people's lives. They took Paul and drug him out of town. And they took him out there and they threw him off that ditch. He laid there for a while. He got caught up in the third heaven. The Lord said, you got to go back. Paul got up. I can see him getting up. Oh, man, I just came from a rock concert. Oh, oh my Lord. Man, they rocked me half to sleep. And he got up and he goes, where was I? Oh, yeah, I was on my third point, yeah. He goes back to town. He walks back in and starts preaching again. They went, God have mercy. Man, this guy. And he stayed there. You talking about a tough man. You talking about it. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. And people say, I can't go to church. Somebody talked about me. Somebody don't like me, man. They didn't shake my hand. I just don't know what it is. Paul cared less if you shook his hand or not, but he loved people. And he says, I have nobody like-minded. You know, Timothy was like him. Timothy, his son in the faith, Timothy says, he said, I have no man like him. Look what it says. We'll have to quit. He says, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be comforted. Good comfort when I know of your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You know what? When I left here, when George was here, I knew George cared. I got some men sitting in here. I know when I leave, they care. They care for this church. I know Jesse cares for this church. I know Squeaky cares for this church. I know Brother Ron, Brother Jim. These men, Brother John, Brother John's in charge when I leave. He's a deacon. And I said, John said, I got it, preacher. I'll take care of it. And it's a blessing to a pastor to be able to go away. I don't have to worry. George called me up when I was in Florida one time. He said, "Preacher," I was down there for 2 weeks. He said, "Preacher, you better get back. You don't even have a church." He was just trying to get, I was trying to come back. I really was. I was really trying to get back. But he says, there's nobody of like-minded. For all seek their own. Look what the verse says. All seek, everybody's got a motive. But if you get in a church, everybody's got the same mind, same heart, wanting to see people say, who cares who gets the glory? Who cares who gets put up front? You know why I told Josh, and Josh is learning. He's learning how to lead singing and all. He's learning how to and he's nervous. He made everything kind of, because he's up here, I told him loosen up a little bit. Jesse told him loosen up a little bit. And he's worried and tight a little bit. So then I said, let some of the other guys, let them get up and let them feel it. Now, Glenn Stocker told me, so I wouldn't do that. He said, man, I wouldn't try him out on our folks. And he said, especially during revival meeting. I said, well, I'm not you. But I wanted our guys to feel it. I want them to feel it and say, oh, man, it's not as easy as it looks. To get up here and try to help people and try to encourage people and be like-minded and try to, you know, so you don't hinder anything, it's not easy. So I wanted them to get a feel for it. So when you're sitting back there and you go, listen to idiot. You get up here and make an idiot out of you. And then you'll sit back there and go, oh, God, help him, Lord. Please help him, God. Please give him power, God. Help him to be able to say the right words. And when you experience it, that's why I do it. Oh, we're going to have to stop here. He says, For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. I'm not intimidated. I'm not intimidated by anybody in the room or anybody trying to take over the church. I'm not intimidated by it. I've even said before, I said, hey, you think you can do a good job? You think you can do a better job? Been 30 years. I'm not intimidated. I want to see the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up here. I don't even like to put my name on anything. I don't like to put my name on the buses. I know a lot of pastors have their name on the buses. I don't even like to put my name on anything. I just don't, you know, I want the Lord. We try to let the Lord have his way. That's the way I've always been. And to be like-minded, I'm not trying to seek my own. Guys call me up, want me to come preach, want me to come do this. I don't want to travel. I don't want to be out, you know. Well, you know, Brother Robin's coming around here. He's preaching there. I've had opportunities to go all over the world and preach. All over the world. I don't want to go. He said, you should go. I said, only if God really pushes me to go. I won't go. I'm thinking about the work here. I'm concerned about things here. So, anyway, we'll stop right there. All right? Father, thank you, God.